Please forgive me. This is actually my first time preaching in English. yeah, I know, to English-speaking people anyways. Usually my wife translates for me back at my home church in Nihama. But I came to Japan just by the leading of the Lord. I'm not an official missionary. I'm more of a missionary by marriage. So my wife's Japanese, and she said, let's go to Japan. I said, well, let's pray about it. So we prayed about it, and the Lord led us to Japan. Before we start on our message here this morning, just like to tell you a little bit about myself. I was 17 when I first came to know the Lord. And at about the age of 15 is when I began to experiment with different kinds of drugs. Nothing really too heavy, just like marijuana, acid, I don't know if you know this stuff, cocaine and stuff like that. but anyways, in that time, during those about 3 or 4 years, it took away everything out of me. You know, starting at the age of 15, and it was fun for a time, but I started to get tired of it, and so I tried to quit many times. So out of my own strength, out of my own being, I kept trying to quit these drugs, and no, I don't want to do it. It costs too much money. you know, it's destroying my body. You know, I'm done. At that time, I began to receive drugs for free. Yeah. So that is the work of, you know, that's the work of the demons, you know. Oh, whoa, 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 Kurt wants to make a change. Let's just give it to him for free to keep him bound forever. So when I wanted to quit, then I just started receiving it for free. You know, my friends started giving me and just, here, just take it, you know, let's just hang out, let's party. So, oh, okay, it's free now. But even then, even during that time, I would still pray. I've always known Jesus. I've always believed that He is the one and true God. But my family never went to church, so I had no idea what, you know, going to church, you know, singing songs and stuff like that. So at that time, still doing those drugs, I would still pray. Lord, continue, you know, to help me. And at that time when I would pray by myself on my bed at nighttime, God would come so close. And my heart would begin to beat so hard, like it was just ready to explode. And right then, I knew that God held my very breath in His hands. And even then, I still was 100% honest with God. And I said, Lord, I know that's You, but I'm not ready. I still like it a little bit. So I was honest with God, and at that time, God once again moved away from me and let me go the way I wanted to go. So long story short, I came to know the Lord at the age of 17, end of my high school year, senior year. And right after that, I went into Bible college. And that's where I met my beautiful Japanese wife. And when we first met, it was not first love. It was not love at first sight. I'm just going to be honest with you guys. You know, everybody feels like everybody's family here, so I'm just going to do you like I do the deaf people. I'm just going to be 100% open here. So it was not love at first sight. It's like, hi, nice to meet you, bye-bye. And the reason was she had just got a perm. And the perm was so big. It was like an afro, and for some people that looks good, but it really didn't match my wife at the time. So it was about the next year the perm kind of went away, her hair went back to normal, and I'm not saying I'm judging from the outside or anything, but I needed a little something more. Good thing she's not here. Now, she's heard the story 1,000 times. It's okay. But after that, we became good friends. I was able to see her heart and her love for people and her love for the Lord. And that is really what, you know, caught me, hook, line, and sinker. So then we became friends. We dated for about 3 years so I could know for sure that she was the one, and so she could know. So we got married, and we bought a house in America. In California, I'm sorry, I'm from California, from Sacramento, which is close to San Francisco. So we bought a house there. I was a plumber, and she was working in a sushi restaurant, of course. And so everything was good, and we were living there for about a year. And all of a sudden, she says, "Let's move to Japan." And I said, "No, thank you." We bought a house. We have two cars. You know, everything's going good. We're getting blessings from God. Oh, thank you, Lord. And she just all of a sudden says, "Let's go to Japan." And I say, "No, thank you." But then the Holy Spirit began to speak to me, and I knew that my life was not my own. I knew that when I got saved, that it was the work of the Lord. And when I got saved, I said, "Lord, I'm yours." And right when I said, "No, thank you," the Holy Spirit reminded me of me saying, "Lord, I'm yours." And He reminded me, "Hey, Kurt, remember? Remember you said, 'I am yours, I'll do anything, I'll go anywhere'? You remember that little promise you made? Yeah, now's the time to fulfill it." So we prayed and we prayed. And I said, "Okay, Lord, if this is your will, if this is your way, I give my house to you, my cars. I ask," at that time, it was a buyer's market for the house. So we bought cheap. And it was not a seller's market. So we would be lucky if we broke even. And we would be lucky if it sold within 6 months. That would have been fast. So I left it up, Lord, in prayer. I said, "Lord, this is my fleece, you know. Take care of it. Show me what's going on. Lead me down the way you want me to go." So within 1 month, the house was sold. Cars were sold. And I made a little extra money to come and move to Japan. So I knew that it was the way of God. And I followed Him. And we've been here in Shikoku for 6 years now. Just last October was just 6 years. I have three children. My oldest daughter is 5 years old. My son is 3 years old. My youngest daughter is 1.5. And I have one more on the way. So next year, in February, I'll have four children before I'm 30. If you have any advice, please let me know. So that's about me. And so now I'd like to go ahead and open our Bibles to the book of Matthew. If you have your Bible, go ahead and give that a open. And I'd also like to open in a word of prayer this morning. Father God, we thank you. Lord, I thank you for these brothers and sisters, for this international church service. Father, for having me here, Lord, it's such an honor to be here with brothers and sisters that are following you, Father God. Lord, they're out of their own country. Lord, they're in a different place. They're in unfamiliar territory. Lord, they still choose to follow you and to follow your leading and to serve you wherever they go. Father, I ask for a blessing on my brothers and sisters here this morning. Father, for the Japanese brothers and sisters who are learning English and speaking English, Lord, I ask you would help them and bless them, Father God, to make that a ministry and make that a praise given back to you, Father God. Lord, we thank you for your word this morning. We ask you to bless it to our hearts, Lord. Help us understand. Father God, help us to remember it. Most of all, Lord, help us to apply it into our lives. Father God, we don't want your word just to be mental knowledge. Lord, we want it to be heart knowledge. We want it to be something that we hold on to, something that's active and living inside of us. For you are the living God, and you are our life. You are the very air that we breathe. Father God, I thank you for this morning or this afternoon. And Lord, I ask you to help me to speak your word, Father God, with your anointing. in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So that's the book of Matthew, chapter 6. Chapter 6. Book of Matthew, chapter 6. Verses 19 through 21. I'll go ahead and read it to you. Pastor, about what time?
3-ish.
Okay, good. All right, so let me go ahead and read that to you. Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21. The words of Jesus. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where the moth, rust, destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where the moth does not destroy, where the rust does not destroy, and where the thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. Amen. This morning I would like to be talking about investing in eternity. We want to invest our lives. Our lives is an investment, is something from God. And when we come to know the Lord, we want to give back to Him everything He's given us and everything that He will give us in the future. And I believe that it's so important for us as the children of God, as the church, to continue to invest into the things of eternity. Because what we do now here on this earth is being built up in heaven, and it will last forever. It's a reward that will last forever. So everything that we do and everything that we say and everything that we touch as we do it for God, it's like investing into heaven. We're putting our time, our effort, our monies, our energy, everything into heaven. So real quick, I'd like to open with some little American story. I found on the internet that Americans, there are 276 billionaires in America. In America, there are 276 billionaires. Next, there are 2,500 households that have over $100 million. Next, we're going to go down the line here. It's pretty interesting. There are 250,000 people in America that have over $10 million. Next, there are over 500,000 people in America who have more than $5 million. And from 1998 up until this year, 2008, that number will increase by four. It will quadruple. This year, it has quadrupled. So everything I just read to you has now quadrupled. So why is it important for us to invest into heaven? Why is that so important? First, because everything that we do, as we do it for the Lord, as we do it with a serving heart, it's like putting money into heaven. It's like putting your treasures in heaven, where you know nothing in the stock market, nothing in your companies, nothing in the world can compare. It's something that will last forever. So that's why it is so important. In America, the 40% of the world's wealth is in America. 40% of the whole world wealth, material things of money and value is in America. But America is only 2.5% of the world population. Only 2.5%. Yet they obtain 40% of the world's wealth. Next, 40% of America's wealth is only owned by 1% of the population. So there's a big gap there. There are over 80 million people in America in financial trouble. Why is this? Why is this? This is the land that God has blessed. It began on the Word of God. It started on the Word of God. It is blessed by the Word of God. I'm not saying money and having too much money is a bad thing. That's a blessing of God. That's good stewardship. But why is there such a big difference? And I believe it's because that now that the world is beginning to wind down, everything is starting to spin in a different rotation in the world. People are now saying no thank you to God. And now we are starting to get the effects of our pushing God away. I remember when I was still doing drugs, I pushed God away. I literally pushed God away. God came to me, spoke to my heart. I knew it was Him without a doubt. My heart was beating so hard and beating so fast, it literally felt like I was going to have a heart attack. I knew that any moment He could have took my breath. And I still pushed Him away. But God's grace, like we were saying, singing this morning, God's grace, God's grace. So now in the world we see that America's going down. We see that Japan's going down. On your prayer list, pray for the economic, financial trouble in the world today. These banks are closing. Everything is going down and down and down. I heard on the news just the other day before I came here, the banks in Europe are having more problems than the banks in America. And one of the presidents in Europe, I don't know if he's a president or who he is, he said, hey, let's do a one world money system. Hello, hello, that's the prophecy. Okay, we're getting close here. So anyways, a lot of bad things are going on. I'm going to skip over a lot of things here. But what should we do? The question for us, the question for the Lord is, what do we do in this time? What is it as a church? What is it as children of God? What are we supposed to do? Who are we supposed to invest in? So our first point today, we see that we are supposed to invest in Jesus. He is the only person we can trust. The Lord said, don't trust in the things of the world. Don't trust in your money. Don't trust in your stocks. Don't trust in your house. For earthquakes will come. The stock market will crash. Tsunamis and typhoons will wash everything away. Trust in the Lord. Why should we trust in God? That's a question we need to ask ourselves this morning. Why should I trust in God? If everything will pass away, if everything's going to get stolen, well, what's the meaning? Where is God? I can't see Him. Why should I trust in Him? First, we must trust in the Lord because He first trusted in us. He first trusted in Adam and Eve. He gave Adam and Eve a part of Himself. He said, I breathe into you. Receive the breath of life. He gave us what we breathe now, what we're alive now. It's the gift of God. Psalms 20, verse 7, maybe some of you know, it says, some trust in horses, some trust in chariots, but we will trust in the name of our God. Now, why is that so important? Why is that such an important verse? Back in the time of Israel, to have a multitude of horses, to have a multitude of chariots was sin. It was against the law. It's written in your Bible. The Lord specifically said, do not gather horses, do not gather chariots, for I and only I am your provision. Me and only me am I your defense. So this is what we do. We as people want to put our trust in something physical, in something we could see, something we could touch. And we see that Solomon made the mistake of doing just the opposite of what God said. As he lined up the chariots, as he kept breeding horses and buying horses and bringing horses in, he fell into sin and he did just the opposite of God. And what did that do to the nation? The whole nation, when the time of war came, looked to the chariots, looked to the horses. They looked to their own strength. So we must trust in God in these perilous times. In these times of not knowing where the future is going, of not knowing where our jobs are going, of getting cheated out of our jobs, like a brother gave a testimony to say, we get cheated, we get stolen, we get beat, we get crushed, but what do? Hold on. Lord, I trust you. I trust you in this situation. I don't know why. I don't know why I'm here. I've followed you. I've been blessed. Maybe it's a time of testing. I'm trusting you. I'm holding on. You're my anchor, Lord. So we must trust Lord for any kind of victory. This is why the Lord didn't want the Israelites to have chariots. Didn't want them to have horses. They didn't want them to have a bunch of armor. The Lord said, I want to be your armor. I want to be your blessings. And this morning, We must trust God in this way. We must say, Lord, here I am. I'm getting cheated at work. My stocks are getting gone. This is going bad. My company's going bad. Whatever you guys are going on in your life. Maybe my ministry's not going good. Maybe my family's falling apart. But Lord, I trust you. You are my center. You are my anchor. And I will not let go. And in those times, that's like investing into heaven. Lord, I'm investing my life into you. I'm investing my children into you. I'm investing my time into you. Your prayer list, your prayer requests, your praise reports. Lord, this is my time. Your Friday night sacrifice. I love that word. Not Friday night prayer, Friday night sacrifice. Lord, I come to sacrifice my time to you. I come to invest. Church, let's rise up. Let's invest in ourselves. Let's invest in each other. Let's invest in our community. Let's invest in our church to see the hand of God come down and shake Hiroshima like nothing ever has shaken it before. Amen? The Lord said, do not lay your treasures up here on the earth, because moth will come in and eat holes in your clothes. The rust is going to come in and destroy all your fancy furniture. And most of all, the thieves will come and steal everything you've worked for. So this is the reason that we first trust in God, because He first trusted in us. He trusted in Adam and Eve. He trusted in Moses. He trusted in Israel. And then He came Himself, Emmanuel, God with us, this time of Christmas. He came to us. He said, I give myself once again. God has been giving and investing in you. In this world, He's been investing for the whole time of human history. God has been pouring Himself out into you. So let's rise up together as brothers and sisters and give ourselves. Let's invest ourselves in the kingdom of heaven. Amen? Amen. Our second point today is, where should we invest? Verse 20 says, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth destroys, nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. We must invest in the imperishable, things that do not perish. That's why our gold, our diamonds, our platinum, our silver, that's why our precious metals are so precious. They don't perish. You could throw it to the bottom of the sea, and you could bring it right out, and it's going to still be a piece of gold. You could take your diamond and throw it in the swimming pool, and 5 years later, pick it up, and it's still going to be a diamond. But, more important, we need to invest in the invisible, in the spiritual realm. Things we can't see, things we can't buy, things we can't hold on to. For example, the fruits of the Spirit, Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 to 23. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. I'm still working on that one. Against such there is no law. There's no law. These are the things we must invest in. Can we go to the store and say, hey, can I have a bottle of love, please? No, we can't do that. Can we go down to the Jasco? Is there a Jasco around here? Yeah, I love Jasco. Jasco in Shikoku, Friday or Tuesday. Tuesday is 5% discount day. So Tuesday is my day off of work and everything. So the whole family goes to Jasco. Daddy, Jasco day. Let's go. Hamburger day. We always get McDonald's. So we can't go down to the Jasco and say, hey, can I have a bottle of joy, please? How much is a bottle of patience? I need a little bit of that today. No, we can't do that. These are things from God. These are God things. The only way to get these things is by being with God. Being with God is investing in God. Our prayer time, our counseling time, our fellowship time, our times of going to the mountain. Oh, I love it. Going to the mountain in prayer. Hallelujah. We claim this city. We claim this town for you. Times of investing. Times of investing in God And most of all, investing in each other. It's okay, building each other up. Oh, I'm feeling down today. It's easy to get down in a different country. I've been down so many times, but the Holy Spirit is so faithful to pick us up, to set us on our feet. You're here for a purpose. Amen? You're not here just for work. You're not here just to teach English. You're not here just to visit Hiroshima and go to the A-bomb site. You're here because God has put you here. Do you believe that this morning? You believe it? Amen. God has placed you here for a reason. I'm in a little town in Nehama. Everywhere around me is all rice fields. I actually grew some rice a couple years back. It was an okay experience. Everything was going wonderful. My rice was growing like grass. It started to turn gold, getting ready to harvest. Hallelujah. I'm going to bring in the harvest myself. We're bringing in the harvest. Inoshishi. Do you know what that is? Inoshishi. Wild boar. Wild boar. Everything just went gone. I was getting ready to use the big machine, you know, to harvest the rice, you know, to feed it through the machine. And these wild boar, making their little beds, eating my rice. Ah, man. It was no good. But I still got about 60 kilos. I got about 60 kilos, so not too bad. 150 pounds. But my parents, my father and mother-in-law are Japanese. So I give them a half a bag, 30 kilos. Oh, yeah, it's okay. Here. Gone. Oh, man, it was like 2 weeks. Oh, can we have some more? I only got one bag. Sorry, all gone. But these are the things that we are supposed to invest in. To invest in each other. To invest in our church. To invest in the body of Christ. We are here this morning. We are one body, amen? We are one people, amen? When we come into this place, we're not foreigners. We're not internationals. But the name is good. International Church, that's okay. But when we come together, we are one. Amen? What does the Bible say? If one of us has a hurt elbow, all of us is going to feel the pain. If one of us is feeling down and depressed, all of us are going to feel the same way. What do we do in those times? We must invest in each other. It's okay, brother. It's all right. Everything's going to be good. Why? Because we hold on to Jesus. We hold on to Jesus. We hold on to the invisible by faith. Faithfulness will bring us through those times. So we should invest in the things of the kingdom of God. First, we invest into Him because, once again, He first invested into us. He invested His life. He invested everything He had. Jesus in heaven, I can still see it. He took off His robes. It's written in the Bible. He took off His robes of heaven and He came down here and He put on the robes of flesh. And what did He invest in? Did Jesus go around buying a lot of land? Did He go and buy the olive mountain? Hey, the olive orchard, that's a good investment. Pop, 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 pop. No. Did He go buy apartments or build hotels? No. What did Jesus invest in? He invested in people, in His disciples. He poured His life for 33 years, for the 3 years of His ministry. He poured Himself into the 12 disciples. You're going to take over. You're going to, what I do, what you see me do, you're going to do. Okay, I'm getting you ready, guys. And they still didn't get it. They're like, duh, that's how I am. I come to Japan, I'm like, what do I do? It's okay, don't worry. God will show us step by step. God invested His life into people. And we must do the same for each other, amen? First, it's important that we invest in ourselves. What I just read to you, the fruits of the Spirit. It's so important to invest the Word of God inside of you. The fruits of the Spirit, the Word of God. Read it, invest it, for this will never pass away. It's eternal blessings for you. To memorize the Word of God, to be able to quote Scripture, is the work of the Holy Spirit. These are the imperishable things that we're supposed to invest in ourselves. What do we invest in ourselves for? Do we just do it to quote Scripture? Hey, look at Psalms 21. The Lord's my shepherd. I shall... Pretty good, huh? I could do it faster. The Lord's my shepherd. No. We don't do it for that. We do it so we could give back out. We invest in ourselves. We fill ourselves, Lord, more, Lord, more, Lord, more, Lord. Then, next thing we do is invest in our families, in our wives, in our husbands, in our children, in our grandchildren. We pour out into our families, and we pour out everything that we receive. We give back. We invest the things that God has invested in us. And we invest it and install it in our children, in our families. After that, we invest it into our coworkers, our friends, our family. After that, we invest it into strangers, people we don't know. When me and my wife was first dating in America, she was so surprised how much I talk to everybody. I'm a talkative person. I'm a people person. So everywhere I go, I'm like, hey, how you doing? Oh, nice to see you. Oh, yeah. Everywhere I go. I go to the grocery store, I buy a pack of gum, and the person working at the counter, I could sit there and talk to for like 5 minutes. We go out to the car, and my wife is like, do you know that person? No. Have no idea who they are. But if I come here again, I'll know them. Yeah. So she was so surprised. She was taken back by how often I spoke to everybody. In America, I don't know if you know, in California, I should say, America's pretty big. I haven't been to the East Coast or Philadelphia. Go Phillies. But in America, everybody is really open in conversation. Sometimes even at the grocery store, you'll be getting your groceries. Boop. So how are the children? Good. Boop. Boop. Oh, it looks like you're doing a barbecue today. Yeah, a little pool party. Boop. Boop. So what time's the pool party? About 5 o'clock. Boop, 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 boop. So is it okay if I come? Yeah, sure. Come on over. Boop, 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 boop. I'm going to bring my children and my husband. Yeah, no problem. Come on over. 6 o'clock. Right? Boop, 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 boop. All right. See you at 6. Yeah, stuff like that really happens. I live in a small town, so, you know, everybody gets friendly and family like really fast. So to wait in the line like that, what's going on up there? Oh, they're just having a conversation. So how you doing? To make new friends everywhere we go. But we invest in people we don't know. People we have no idea. We invest in them. The Bible says, be careful in season and out of season, for we do not know when we will be entertaining angels. Sometimes we entertain the heavenly host, the things of the Spirit. Sometimes we entertain. That's why we must invest and the things of the Spirit. Lord, what are you saying? I got my DirecTV up, my satellite ears. What are you saying, Holy Spirit? I got my antenna up, my radio's ready, tuned in. What are you saying, Holy Spirit? Even when you go shopping, even doing your laundry, hanging your laundry, talk to people, be open. The more open we are, the more of a chance we have to touch somebody's life. I'm so grateful for the sisters' Bible study. Open the Bible study. Open your house. Everybody, come on in. If you don't know Jesus, that's okay. You're going to learn Jesus. Amen? We're going to do a Bible study. Open your lives to each other. And when we do that, then we get the shining of the glory of God. What does the Bible say? We are the reflection of His glory. Church, let's be like little mirrors all around Hiroshima. Amen? Let's just walk around just shining the glory of God. Let's open our eyes in the spiritual realm and say, Lord, who do you want me to touch today? Lord, who do you want to send in my life today? Here I am at Jasco eating my hamburger with my children. But who do you want me to touch today? Who am I supposed to invest in? We've got to keep our eyes open for investment opportunities. We all like making money. We all like to invest in the stock market or invest in a company, or to work and make money. We all like that. Those are good things. So we give our time. We invest our time. But more importantly, Let's invest our time into each other, into strangers, into Hiroshima, so that they will know that they know that they know that they have came before a child of God. Just in the simple hello, just in the simple konnichiwa, just in the simple hajimemashite, they will see and sense the voice of God. Let's be open and invest in people. Amen. Amen. Our third point today is, why should we invest? Why should we invest? Verse 21. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. So wherever your treasure is, your heart's going to be there. That's the Word of God. It's a promise. I don't know if you guys seen the movie Pirates of the Caribbean. Have you seen Johnny Depp? You know, arry matey. Okay. Everybody's like, oh, 誰ですか? この人変だね。There's a weird guy up here preaching. I like movies, so. But in the treasure, you open a treasure box. Is it all one thing? No. There's gold, there's silver, there's rubies, there's diamonds, all kinds of things. All of us have a different kind of treasure. For us to invest, ourselves into the kingdom of God, we're investing ourselves into a treasure that God cares about. People is the treasure of the world. Everything else will pass away. But people, the souls of people, is the investment of God. So why should we invest? We should invest because, once again, He first invested in us. Sorry if I'm going over time here. We're almost done here. Genesis talks about the covenant, the first covenant God made, the covenant with Abraham. Back in the old days, the covenant, they had to walk down an aisle. And along the sides of the aisle was what? Cut up pieces of meat. There was a cut up lamb, I'm not too sure, some kind of animal that was cut up. And the old way was to two parties who were making the promise, kind of like a wedding, walk down the middle of the aisle. And the cut up pieces of animals represented, if I break my promise, you could do this to me. Yeah, that makes a promise a little more. Before you say I promise, think about that. but that's what, if I break my promise, you, what these animals look like, you could do that to me. That's my promise, that's my vow. Here in the book of Genesis, God did that with Abraham. But what did God do to Abraham? God said, this promise is too heavy for you. This is too big. This is something you can't handle. I know you're going to break the promise. I know you're going to fall. I know you're going to fail. So God put him to sleep. Laid him down. And God, only one, he says, I make the promise. And he walked down the aisle. And he gave Abraham the vision to see what was going on. And God said, I am making a promise to this world. I'm investing myself into this world. I'm investing myself into the souls, into each and everything for the kingdom of God, for my kingdom. So that the world will see, so that all of heaven will see that the Satan and all of his fallen angels are not right and what they do is not right. I will invest myself into these tiny little people called human beings. We are so weak. We are so down. But we have the Spirit of God living inside of us. That's something that Satan remembers, and that's something that makes him mad, and that's why we see him in this world running around just like a little child. When my 3-year-old wants some ice cream or wants some chocolate, and I say, no, that's enough chocolate today. Daddy, chocolate, please. Oh, I just want some chocolate. No, no more chocolate. It's 5 o'clock. Oh, Daddy, please. No, no more chocolate. And he goes, and he sits down. Sometimes I have to spank him. That's what the devil's doing right now, church. He knows the time is short. When Israel became a nation in 1948, the Bible says that generation will not pass. That's our generation. And now we're right here, close to it. And the time has been ticking, and it gets louder and louder in the ears of Satan and in the ears of demons. And the more it gets louder, and the more he sees the hands starting to click up together, the more of a mess he's going to make. But We have the Spirit of God living inside of us. Church, let's rise up. Let's focus in our prayers. Let's focus in. Let's target in on what God wants us to pray about. Let's focus in and target in on our brothers and our sisters who are losing their jobs or getting cheated out of money or whatever's going on. I have a bad back. Let's focus in. Lord, if my brother's hurting, I am hurting. Heal his back in the name of Jesus. Let's rise up in the power of the Spirit and let's put the demonic realm to rest. Amen? We must invest ourselves into the kingdom of God. We must take our time. We must know that we are here for a reason. Amen? We're not here just to live life. We're not here just to have children and to have a beautiful family. Yes, that's a blessing of God. But you are here for a purpose. Amen? And I believe God is telling us, God is telling you this morning, to rise up in the Spirit. Don't be timid anymore. Sometimes we have to be a little American. I always tell my church back in Shikoku, it's okay to be a little American when you start praying. Americans sometimes tend to be rude. I'm one of them sometimes. And Japanese are always very nice and very polite. But when it comes time to pray, we can't be polite with the devil, amen? He's already stolen too much. The Bible says we must redeem the time. We must redeem the time. That means we have to take the time and turn it back and say, no, God is still working. God is still doing. The world's going down. It's almost time to get raptured out of here. But God's not done with me. God's not done with my church. God's not done with Hiroshima. Amen? Amen? Let's rise up. And let's invest ourselves what God is doing. Let's go on fasting. Let's go into prayer. Let's go into strong fellowships. Let's continue to reach out for the English-speaking community. Reach out to whatever God puts in your hands. Church, I'm only here today by the grace of God. I cannot boast in anything I do. I cannot do it. Because everything I do has been by the grace of God. My sign language, my little bit of Japanese, 少しだけ. My wife, my family, my children, everything I do out of the grace of God. Anything that He puts in my lap, I try to do it with the best that I know how. I didn't study to be a preacher. I didn't study to be a missionary. I just went to Bible college wanting to know the Bible more, thinking I'm going to be a plumber all my life. 水道さん. I was going to be a plumber for all my days. But God had different plans. And He brought me to a place where I don't know, a place that I'm unfamiliar with. And He's brought you here too. So many things we can't understand. But we hold on. And we invest in God. Lord, I don't know, but I trust You. I trust You, Lord. I give You my life. Lord, I don't know the language. I only could do sign language. I can't do Japanese. I don't know why. Lord, I trust You. Amen? Amen. Let's trust God for new things. As we're coming into the time of Christmas, let's spread the spirit of Christmas. Amen? As we're coming into the time of the new year, let's welcome the new year with the power of the Spirit, with the anointing of the Spirit. Amen? Amen. Let's close in a word of prayer. Father God, we thank You for Your word. Most of all, Holy Spirit, we thank You for all Your leading and guiding and teaching us, Lord. Father God, we can't see the future, Lord. We don't know the future, Lord, but You see each and everything. And Lord, we trust You this morning. Lord, I trust You this morning with all of my heart, with my family, with my children, with my very own life, Lord. With all of Japan, I trust You. Lord, I don't know what You're doing, Lord. I don't know why revival hasn't came in Japan yet. Lord, so many years revival has been tarried, Father God. So many years, Lord, the missionaries have come and gone, come and gone, come and gone. Father, we don't know why, Lord. But we trust You. We trust Your timing, Lord. For when Your timing is right, then everything will line up and be perfect. Father, we trust You for that. And we open our lives to You, Lord, and we surrender, Lord. And we say this morning, Lord, I invest in You. I invest in You. Father God, I pray for my brothers and sisters here this morning. Fill them, Lord. Holy Spirit, fill them. Fill them with your fire, Lord. Fill them with your anointing, Lord. Lord, as the oil poured down the beard of Aaron, Father God, so the oil is pouring over these lives here this morning, over this church this morning, over this city this morning, Father God. Oh, Holy Spirit, let your anointing fall on this place in Jesus' name. Father, that every knee would bow, that every tongue would confess that you and only you are the true and one way to heaven. Father, we invest in that. Lord, I invest 100% into that. Each and everything I have, Lord, my very next breath is by the grace and the gift of your hand. Oh, Lord, continue to pour out upon my brothers and sisters. Father, that they would have special encounters, special dreams. Father God, miracles that would just automatically happen, Father God, for the glory of your name, O Lord. For it is in you that we live and have our being. Almighty God, make us alive in you. Awaken our spirits. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.